The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to ReviewParty.com. I'm Matt.
I'm Brent.
And we're here to talk to you about a podcast. It's very important. This is a very special episode of ReviewParty.com. Because everyone is special, right?
Everybody's special. Snowflake, it's so sad that snowflake has become a derogatory term these days because people truly are special snowflakes, and I mean that in a nice way. I love everybody, and I love the unique things they bring to the table.
Yeah.
Whether they're the ends of their fingers end in icicles that split into three or two.
And just like we would never condescend to any of you, we won't condescend to our episodes either. This one's just as special as episode. Well, the early episodes are probably a little fuzzy, but that doesn't matter because what we were doing back then is the same thing we're doing right now, which is what, Brent?
Making comedy from internet reviews, I guess, is what we do around here. Like from Amazon and Google and Yelp.
And other sundry review sources that are on the internet.
Yeah, we haven't got a lot of Kmart reviews. You think I can dig up any Kmart.com reviews? I'll get on that for next time.
It'd be a little tough these days, but maybe, just maybe.
I have a review I'd like to start us out with, I suppose.
Slap me with it, please.
A popular topic to crank on around here is probably gamer peripheria, such as light-up keyboards and headphones with cat ears on them. Those are ripe. So I went straight to one of the sources. I have an Amazon review here for the movie Gamer by Gerard Butler.
Okay, that's that one.
Yep, it's that one. I remember watching this in our college RA's room when it came out. Were you there? I don't know. Remember if Matt was involved.
I can't say I was there, no.
Well, good for you, because this movie is something. I'll let SC take it away. They titled their review Glitchy Garbage. Literally the worst movie Gerard Butler has ever played in. The action sequences were terribly filmed, especially for being marketed as, quote, a video game shooter, unquote. Seeing as how gamers pride themselves on correct UI and camera maneuverability.
Oh.
The storyline was terrible and came off as a smear campaign against online gaming in general and as a warning for what, quote, kids will turn into, unquote, given too many violent video games. Because you have to remember, every teenager is totally mentally unhinged and will turn into a serial killer after buying the latest Call of Duty. Insert sarcasm above. Well, the scene cuts and path the story took was broken, confusing, and otherwise unprofessionally done. Skipping around from nudity to gore and back for literally no reason except to be gratuitous and give the movie an R rating. The entire movie felt more rushed than Game of Thrones. And maybe if the budget had allowed for another hour of gore and nudity, they may have had time to put together a filled out decent story. Fortunately for everyone watching this movie, the torture didn't last for another hour. 1 star.
I have a few things to say. Somehow I don't think this is the worst. Not that I've seen it, but I still don't think this is the worst movie of Gerard Butler's storied career. The man was in Dracula 2000.
Yeah, he has certainly been all over the place. Does Gods of Egypt ring any bells?
Oh, no.
Because it doesn't to me either. It looks like shit.
I remember it coming out and then disappearing.
Geostorm? That one looked pretty bad.
That one looked awful, and particularly for me being a lover of geography, so naturally anything with geo in front of it intrigues me. And I saw the trailers and I thought, no, nah, man,
Yeah, and that one came off the heels of, wasn't there one with The Rock in it that was about the end of the world or some other?
It's like San Andreas, right? That one?
Yeah, San Andreas. Yeah, well, that, oh my goodness. What a weird, like, genre of film to have a little, like, moment in the sun. You know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
But yeah, there's definitely worse Gerard Butler movies. And there's great, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'd say I'm a fan of the guy. Reign of Fire? Cult classic. Mm-hmm. Even his performance in Phantom of the Opera, it took me away.
Say, the dude was in Phantom of the Opera. He's not some washed up chump or anything.
Mm-hmm. He's just got a bit of the Nick Cage syndrome where, you know, he'll do any script that someone puts right in front of him.
It's going to be hot or it's going to be cold.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I haven't read or watched any of Game of Thrones. I know that's probably a shock to some people who perceive me with this voice to be quite a nerd, but I just didn't get into it. Was Game of Thrones rushed? Did it go through quickly?
It is notorious for after it got through the book material to sort of go off the wire a little bit. The last season is especially notorious for being, I think it gets a bad rap. The last season has a lot of moments that I waited for a long time and were well done. But yes, I guess the problem with it, it was very rushed. There was a lot of plot points that were brushed over that people are hoping George R. R. Martin will finish before he croaks.
Okay.
I mean, and that's, people knew there's storylines from that are written that weren't covered, but you know, that's a big pot of worms, I guess.
You can't have everything.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just cool to jab Game of Thrones when you're a cool nerd guy. Yeah,
sure.
Me, I didn't like the last season of Game of Thrones. I'm not some hype beast. I'm a gamer who appreciates correct UI and camera maneuverability.
I'm a hashtag real one, okay?
Hashtag real gamer. When I saw a movie named Gamer, I thought, finally, a movie for me and my pals. Besides Joker.
Ugh.
But then, there was not correct UI in this Gamer movie.
That's just, yeah, that is such an obscure criticism.
They probably mean something else and just didn't know how to put it into words.
I know what they're trying to say. Yeah, it's like the last 2 minutes of the classic movie Doom,
mm-hmm.
where you go into that first person perspective.
Yeah, the only good 2 minutes.
It's just like Doom.
It looked like Doom. For those who don't know, the Rock Doom movie is hot trash, but the last 2 minutes, they do a literal first person segment, and if they had just made that and put it on YouTube, people would have been like, this fucking rules.
Honestly, yeah. What was that Hardcore Henry? I think that was that movie that was completely first person.
Mm-hmm.
Not fantastic, but it's hard to look away because you're seeing through Henry's eyes.
Visually stimulating, visually exciting, different. We like all those things.
Yes.
Experimental. You know, sometimes you gotta shoot for the stars because if you miss, you'll still land on the moon or something.
you got it perfect.
Yeah, I got it perfect, right? That wasn't switched. That's how it goes.
You understand the meaning of it, which is why you're correct.
Thank you. Thank you for that big benefit of the doubt backpack.
Yep, it's hard to lift up sometimes, but I just hand it right off. I have an Amazon review, unless you have something to say.
Nah, let's move on from this time for really hit me.
I have an Amazon review for Spectracide Wasp and Hornet Killer. 20 ounces up to 27-foot jet spray.
Woo! Let's go, baby.
It's summertime. The wasps are out. Your masculinity is in question, Dad. Get yourself some Spectracide and please wear protective eyewear because if there's a breeze, oh no.
Well, then the bees won't go for your eyes, at least.
That is true. If you spectracide your eyes, they'll be safe from stings. Yikes. Yikes, though. I have repeating slightly unintentionally, Amazon reviewer Wilson Phillips Jr.
Oh,
also featured last week. Not good enough for a reviewer Redux, Mr. Jr., but good enough to get a pat on the back.
Yeah, but this one's all right.
Wilson Phillips titles his review, Success 3 years in a row, in parentheticals, if you know how to use it, and writes, so, this product is great for what it is, but obviously is not great for what it isn't. First, it isn't a deterrent. You cannot spray this to prevent wasps from inhabiting an area. I'm not sure where some of the reviewers got this idea from, but I've never seen an aerosol spray used as wasp deterrent. Second, a quick squirt will not do. If you have a fully formed nest or hive, you will need to soak and keep on soaking. If you've been stung by one of these hot little babies, you know using half a can is worth it to avoid the nasties. Now, what it does do is kill these bambinos dead. When spraying on target liberally, you will kill the flying ones on contact, but you will also soak through the mud cocoon or the wasp nest, killing the larva. This is what makes it effective. If you have a few fly off, I'd suggest running away because they may try to sting you on their way to waspy heaven. But rest assured, even while flying away, they're going to meet Wasp Jesus at the pearly gates. Does this product work? Yes. We have large dogs and large dog poop. As you may or may not know, that is the perfect ingredient for wasps to cultivate homes. So we take down wasp nests for 8 to 9 months out of the year.
Jesus.
This product is the only product we use. In 3 years of use, I have a 100% success rate with it. I was stung once before I started using it, and I'd likely use it less if the maintenance staff didn't knock down the wasp nests already sprayed. Tip, leave up the nests after you spray them. It will prevent other wasps from building in the area, and wasps won't reuse an abandoned nest. This works so well, in fact, you can buy fake wasp nests online or even DIY. But just leaving up the abandoned one is perfect. Just order a bunch more. Now, someone needs to tell me how to get the wasps out from under my lawnmower. 4 stars.
As many nitpicks as I have with certain details of this review.
Yes.
It does make me want to dual wield this product and go on a wasp killing rampage.
Right. I'm not a gun toting renegade by any means, but there is something just so utterly fulfilling about a long stream of something coming out of something that you're holding, be it a Spectracide wasp can with 27-foot jet spray, or your dad's power washer and him saying, don't hold it too close to the wood because you'll score it, or bear spray. That videos of that is insane.
We are noted fans of the Super Soaker here on ReviewParty.com. These bad boys shoot harder than a Super Soaker, and they're handheld. They are dual-wieldable. No pumping required.
Oh, man.
And not only do they shoot 30 feet or whatever and are handheld, they also kill something that everyone agrees needs to be killed. Wasps. Bees, we stan. We love.
Bees are great.
Never use this product to harm a bee or a bee's nest. Call a beekeeper. They will take care of it and it'll help the environment. But wasp living in the ground and living in a disgusting nest, take no prisoners.
They live amongst mud and vile dog dung.
Yeah, that's a good segue, because that brings me to my biggest nitpick with this review.
Okay.
I'm very happy for Will that this product enriches his life and allows him to be in a constant battle of attrition against wasps for 8 to 9 months of his year. A majority of his year is spent battling the event. That's as long as a real war.
Yeah.
That's as long as a real war every year, year in and year out. But maybe, you know, you should cut the head of this. You should cut the snake at the head. Whatever. I can't
yeah,
do
that's
any.
Yeah, that's the phrase. Nip it
that's
in the
right one. I did it right. Okay, good. The snake. You got to take that fucking snake and rip its head off, bro. Because you cutting off at the tail ain't working. All right. Start cleaning up your dog shit. Do a little lifestyle change, and maybe you won't have to wage a World War One like mustard gas war against our tiny stinging enemies if you just cleaned up some poop.
To phrase it possibly more elegantly, although I don't know how I could be more elegant than you, or eloquent, one or the other. You treat the cause as opposed to the symptom. And I know that gets thrown around politically, but when we're talking about your dog taking big old dumps in the backyard, maybe just possibly you get there before the wasps do.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, sweet building material. If you come in with your little pooper scooper, put it in that little cute miniature trash can that you have in your backyard. Just drop the deuce in there. The wasps are going to be homeless.
Yeah, wasps don't have thumbs, all right? They do not have human strength either. They will not lift the little poop scoop decompose trash can lid open to get it to make materials. This isn't Minecraft.
No, they can't get in there. They're not raccoons.
Is his backyard like the backyard from Sandlot, except instead of one giant misunderstood St. Bernard, there's like a dozen of them?
Yeah, this is just the territory of dog.
They're just eating meat and shitting all day, bro.
He looks out his window. Honey, there's no way I'll be able to keep up with that.
Yeah, he doesn't have a choice. He's just got to run rampant. He said, I love these dogs. You know?
The battle that matters, me versus the wasps, I know where that line is drawn. He opens the cabinet. Can. He's putting them in his belt.
Yeah, he's got a whole closet full of pristine belt. He's got bandoliers ready to go. I mean, I respect animal lovers. If this guy loves his dogs enough to let them roam free, shit as they please, and it's just a small price to pay for him to have 9 months of hell every year. Maybe I can't knock him.
It'd be cool to be his neighbor and like, I was going to say 12 years old again, but even at my ripe age, I would still be watching through the window of my bedroom. Like, oh, he's out there again. Come on, look. Look at him go.
It's funny you say that because when I lived out in the county, in the sticks, back up in Michigan, very nice home, very big windows with views to our wooded area in the backyard. Uh-huh. Very lovely. But my favorite use of those windows, beyond even seeing the beautiful white-tailed deer that came to eat their dinner where my dad baited in a little clearing that the kitchen window looked at. What's even better than that is when that big-ass wasp nest would be outside and I got to watch from the safety of the window. So my dad dual-wielded some of these cans and then went to war.
I can picture it now. He's got like the sturdy leather jacket that he sometimes welds in or whatever, because your dad's just that cool and hardcore.
Definitely had the ski mask with just the eyes visible.
Yes.
Yeah, as close as in our modern society as I can get to my dad being like a vigilante crime fighter.
So cool.
All right. I have a review. We'll keep the chemical theme going here.
Oh, boy.
I have a review from Amazon for Health A to Z Allergy Relief Loratadine Tablets 10 milligrams Antihistamine Non-Drowsy 300 Count 24-Hour Allergy Medicine. This review is written by Gary S., who titles it Works Well, Plenty of Time Before the Expiration Date. This is a generic for Claritin, which works great for seasonal allergies. My doctor told me to take it every day because once you get allergies, it's too late. You have it in your system all the time. Parenthetical, be sure to ask your doctor before taking it all the time in case you have specific health issues that would make this advice a problem. End parenthetical. Cool. I purchased this in March 2022 and the product arrived quickly. It expires in September 2024. Since I take it every day and the bottle contains 300 pills, it will run out long before it expires. Thumbs up emoji, 5 stars.
Big props for dispensing sound advice on the internet regarding other people's health and not your own.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Usually they act as though people's health is a monolith. That's a pretty common review situation.
Yeah, or they'll just... Yeah. There's a lot of bad advice dispensed, cast out into ready and willing ears who want to believe, who desperately need to believe that this remedy will work for me because it worked for Johnson 884 LOL on Amazon.
What got me about this review, but now I'm maybe having second thoughts about it, is how this man's life is indebted to this generic allergy medicine, how this man insists to take this every day, though it is not a prescription, though it is does not prevent him from dying. It just is something he's decided he must do to prevent the allergies from coming. But now I'm looking, this bad boy's $11.95. He's only playing, what, a nickel a day?
Yeah,
to keep the sniffles away?
That ain't bad. And depending on where you live, Matt, maybe you do need to take it every day. I'm going to say around here in us Midwestern parts where everything is dead 4 months of the year, aside from maybe the mold in your basement.
Uh-huh.
You don't need to take your Claritin or off-brand Claritin every day. But who knows where he lives?
Gary could live in the middle of a field of weeds.
But a bit of ragweed.
He could have some sort of a little beaver mound in the middle of a coniferous forest.
Ah, and see, audience, coniferous means it keeps its leaves. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. Do you know that? Deciduous is drops, coniferous is keeps, although in some rare cases, conifers do shed their leaves.
I didn't know that. I just used the word because it sounded real good.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah. deciduous conifers, I believe there are two, one of which is the tamarack, which generally grows in sort of marshy bog-like areas where
all of Wisconsin. Soil,
all of Wisconsin for the most part. The soil is so acidic that it can't sustain its little needly leaves all year long. So it's like, bro, I'm out. I got to drop this.
Yeah, but it's probably worth it for that tree to be tripping acid all its whole life.
Yeah, yeah.
Just just growing in the middle of the swamp, tripping balls, dude.
Just like tripping your allergy medicine.
Imagine being a tree tripping on swamp acid and an owl starts to make a house in your tummy. That shit would blow your tree brains.
Honestly, as long as we're on this tangent, I went to, I think the name was Beulah Bog in southern Wisconsin, way back just after freshman year of college. And this was a bog that had floating moss mats.
Oh, I've seen those. Not in person, but videos. I've
seen a video of them. And I felt like I was tripping because you're stepping on what you assume is the ground, but it's just like, it's like you're on a giant waterbed. And if the tree sees humans doing that, like, whoa, they don't even know how to walk on the earth, man. Whoa.
The tree can't reach out and squish the moss. It's just there as far as they're concerned. They see little frogs leap across that all day, no problem. And they're probably paying close attention because they're on that bog acid. And they're probably like, oh, look at a little frog. But then the humans step on it and all of a sudden the ground is turning into rubber.
It's twisted.
It's fucked up. Yeah, I don't know if I might freak out if I had to walk across some of that. All I would picture is my fat leg just piercing through.
I was almost sure you were going to talk about I'm sure there's a name for them in Lord of the Rings, the dead bodies.
Oh, yep, exactly. Exactly. It pierces through the evil skulls of my ancestor peering up at me, grabbing for me. That is exactly the vibe.
Yeah, true story. On the same trip, me and this other guy, we saw a downed tree, a log. Like, oh, we could use that as a bridge. That's sweet. Let's go towards it. And it didn't click in our brains that the floating mat of moss only led right up to that downed tree, because it wasn't growing under it. It's like reaching the edge of the stage. And as soon as we got close to it, we just sunk 2 feet into water.
Oh, yeah. That's the part where I just die. I just retire.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, you got allergies? You suffer? Have you suffered forever?
I am blessed not to suffer from allergies. My mom deals with allergies a lot, and I did not catch those genetics. I am very thankful for.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Me, I don't think I suffer much either.
Yeah, it's nice. When I lived in Japan, the allergies are so bad over there that, like, the daily weather forecast, the forecast on the eights, or whatever you might call it, always had the allergy forecast as well.
Yeah, like the pollen count.
That was not a culture shock, just that's something that's sad that they got to deal with that. Mm-hmm. Lots of hay fever sufferers around there. Blech. Fight on. You got some non-drowsy health 2Z allergy relief that might help, you know. Let's take a break.
I could use a break.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. ReviewParty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt. Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is Brent here with a rare Brent Forged segment. And here on this, the holiest episode 105 review party we'll ever have, I have an upon further review.
Whoa.
I don't know if it was the last upon further review I did, but the one that sticks out in my memory was about my favorite supervillain, MF Doom. But today I have an upon further review about someone who's very heroic in my eyes.
Okay.
And someone I learned more about recently and made even more a role model for me, I think. Let me read about this person and let's see where their life goes. You know, you might be surprised. That's why we call it upon further review. In 1955, our hero was born in Westbury, New York, and spent his former years in Connecticut, being raised by his Gaelic grandmother in an Irish Catholic household, spending much of his free time playing baseball with the neighborhood kids or jigging with Granny. He also had a knack for acting, and at the age of 17, he received a full scholarship to Juilliard. After school, he had a cushy gig in a daytime soap opera, but his love of theater drove him to work at the Globe in San Francisco. He had many critically acclaimed roles, including the lead role in Hamlet, parts in A Midsummer Night's Dream, Lolita, and others. Despite his early successes, our hero suffered many extreme prejudices as a gay man, both from his colleagues and producers, and lost many of his close friends during the AIDS epidemic. In his words, "This was the early 1970s. Stonewall had just been an event on the evening news. The thrill of watching gay men fight back was tempered by the ridicule they received from the press. Better to wear a mask, I thought." Oof. Once again feeling at outs with his place in the world, our hero began pursuing roles in voice acting. His agents got him an audition for a role that the creative team was being very picky about in a new, dark, experimental cartoon about a certain superhero that was blowing up in popularity due to a certain Tim Burton's edgy take on the cinematic version of the character.
Oh, man.
Matt knows who I'm talking about, but I'll reveal it shortly. Here's a quote about that audition. I walked in and met the creative team of Bruce Timm, Andre Romano, Eric Radomski, and others. They talked me through the character, explained how the young Bruce Wayne had seen his parents murdered in front of him in Crime Alley, how he formed dual personalities to deal with the agony of his childhood, a mask of confidence to the world, and a private one racked with conflicts and wounds. Could I relate to that? They asked. I replied, let me just get inside the head of the man and see where I go. Who am I talking about, Matt?
Kevin Conroy.
I am talking about the legendary Batman voice actor Kevin Conroy.
Oh my goodness.
Speaking on creating his iconic Emmy-winning Batman voice, Kevin writes, as Bruce, I felt disoriented and lost, not sure of my identity as my parents were cruelly yanked from me. I felt disoriented and lost as an actor whose identity was yanked from him. Was I my public face or my private face? Had I made too many compromises? My heart pulsed. I felt my face flushed. My breath grew deeper. I began to speak, and a voice I didn't recognize came out. It was throaty, husky, rumbling.
Oof.
Sound that shook from my body. This iconic voice would go on to inspire every iteration of Batman afterwards, from Christian Bale's raspy charcoal tones when he dons the mask, to being from Kevin himself in many, many adaptions, still voicing him in the video game Arkham series and many other animated series to this day. The most iconic Batman voice ever is a result of the very talented Kevin Conroy's experiences as a gay man experiencing prejudice in the 1970s.
Wow. I mean, at first I was making a connection because your MF Doom, upon further review, biographical dive, I mean, that features someone donning a mask as well.
Right.
But for very different reasons.
Right, right. Both of these people experience a lot of prejudice and injustice in their own world. But right, the MF Doom persona is almost a personal triumph against it. Where
it's defiant.
Mm-hmm, where Kevin Conroy is sort of leaning into the more sentimental aspects of Bruce Wayne, I think.
Yeah, that is unbelievable.
Yeah, when I heard about it, I was like, wow, it makes so much sense, and it's adds so many layers to a performance that, how many Saturday afternoons watching Cartoon Network Batman animated series marathons did I spend?
Mm-hmm.
I can't hear Batman without hearing Kevin Conroy, you know?
Yeah, it's iconic.
Yeah, he left an even bigger imprint on the role than Adam West, who, you know, started it all.
Mm-hmm.
Respect to Adam West, of course, as well. Put some respect on that name.
Of course. I love it.
Yeah. I collected information for this segment from a few articles from Kotaku and Bleeding Cool, if you want to know a little more, and Kevin's biography on his website, but mostly from his own words in this year's DC Pride 2020 #1, which he wrote himself. I highly recommend it. Heading over to your local comic book store and reading the entire story for yourself. It's just really inspiring. A great meditation on art and where it comes from, as well as a reminder of the daily struggles that we all face as individuals, as a part of this society, as his friend Joker would say. So, happy Pride Month from us here at Review Party. I hope you're having a great one.
Yeah. Yeah. I would hate to say, like, it's so good that he got to use that for, but being the low little level community theater actor that I am, I know that when I can personally connect to a role that I am playing, it feels so much more real and the performance is so much more nuanced.
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, he won those Emmys for a reason.
And that
performance was more real than we could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think good is just not the right verbiage, right? It was so important that he used that for the role.
Yeah. Whew.
What a blessing on all of us.
No kidding.
And the dude still got it. The dude was born in 1955. I'm not going to do the napkin math, but still still rocking the, not just the Batman charcoal voice, but also the Bruce Wayne, the much more reserved, drawn back. Not only is he the best Batman, but he's the best Bruce Wayne, too.
He knows how to walk in both the light and the dark.
Do you have a review?
I do, and this, I guess I didn't necessarily plan this, but it feels fitting to go down this, even if my stupid jokey mind is focused on the latter half of the review.
Don't worry, we're back to the comedy, folks.
The front half is at least relevant. It's a nice segue from what we just had. I have an Amazon review for the American Medical Association Boy's Guide to Becoming a Teen. If I'm not mistaken, I recently featured a review of some such item on our Instagram on a one-star Monday. Hashtag
reviewparty.com.
Yeah, reviewparty.com. That's the one. This is a different review, a different one-star review, actually. And it comes to us from Lord Todd Wadley. Lord Todd titles his review, "Way Too Wordy," and writes, "Terrible writing. Too much and doesn't explain stuff. I actually got this for the mention of anal sex mentioned in other reviews because I wanted to give it to a gay or bisexual teen boy and want him to know anal is okay, that it requires lube, wait until the fifth or sixth time for it. The only mention in this book is a definition of anal sex, is sex where one person puts a penis in another's anus. There's not even a definition of anus. Defining words really matters. My mom said, as I was standing naked in front of her after a bath as a young boy, that's your penis. I thought that was a silly childish word like boo-boo and that dick was the correct term because I already knew that one. Kids are starting from zero and need the simplest things explained. Overall, this book is too high of a grammar and vocabulary level. If you understand all these words, you don't need this book. Joanna Cole's Asking About Sex is the best of all six similar books I read. One star.
There is a lot to unpack there from a...
Right.
From a wonderful celebration of being gay and pride to the a great depiction of the ignorance that gay people have to deal with.
Yeah, this is somebody who's probably assuming they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
They may have the best intentions in mind, but it's not unlike when people say, "Oh gosh, I was really nice to that black person. I treated them the same as everyone else."
Yeah, great fucking job. No. That being an achievement is scary.
No, you having that thought means you don't recognize them the same. Yeah. And we all have biases and things to work through. We all need to understand a bit more.
This
the
review
opening
was
of this,
a celebration of their biases.
Yeah, I wanna let all the gay and bisexuals know it's okay for them to do. To do their thing.
Let me explicitly explain their private matters for everybody on this Amazon review. But what also really got me, what really hit me close to my heart is there's too much complex vocabulary and grammar. I hate when people disrespect kids' intelligence.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's,
if you say that that grammar's too complicated from them, you're right, you know?
You're the one making that choice.
Exactly. Let them rise to the occasion. Let them surprise you. I think a lot of people will say, you know, "Oh, kids are so much smarter than us. Kids are so much smarter." And people who disagree with that take it a little wrong. It's not that they have a bigger wealth of knowledge. It's that they're so much better at learning than adults. You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah. I mean, a high school senior, I remember getting to college and like the first class, my professor said, a high school senior is the smartest person in the world because their world is so small, but they know all of it. They've been around their town. They know it like the back of their hands. That's not to say they're dumb when they get out of their hometown, but they've spent years and years working on how to learn things and practicing and perfecting all of the things that they know.
Right. Yeah, as far in their realm, they're the experts. And the stuff that they got to know, they be knowing.
Yeah, and this is a book. It's titled Boy's Guide to Becoming a Teen.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are it's not some heavy, heady language that they're going to have to, you know, have explain my Shakespeare on the other side.
If this guy thinks the term anal is a little too out there, you know, you really need a healthy 7-page definition of it. I'm worried about his intelligence.
That too, for him to relay the story that when he stood in front of his mother naked after taking a bath, and she said, "Son, that's your penis." And he said, "Mom, that's a baby word. And they're called dicks."
the gravitas in which we say. That reminds me of one of my favorite jokes that my grandmother taught me.
Okay.
So little Johnny was so excited to go to school. And he went to his first day of school, and they learned some stuff about train engines and how they worked. They read a story about it, and so when he got home, his mom asked, "Oh, Johnny, little Johnny, what did you learn about today?" And he said, "Oh, we learned about choo-choo trains." And she said, "Johnny, that's how babies refer to trains. Please call them locomotives or train engines." And so Johnny thought about it, said, "Okay, Mom, okay." And they had dinner and went about their day. And the next day, Johnny went to class. And they learned about animals. They learned about especially farm animals.
Okay.
And, lots of wonderful things. Bingo was his name-o was probably sung, that type of thing. And so he goes home and Mom asks, "Johnny, what did you learn about today?" And Johnny says, "We learned about the moo-moo cows and the little piggies." And Mom said, no, that's baby stuff, Johnny. You have to call them, those are cows or steers and pigs and piglets." And he thought, "Oh, okay, Mama, I promise." And he took that lesson to heart. And the next day, they read some stories about the one and only Winnie the Pooh, the wonderful children's stories. And he really liked it, and he was so excited to tell his mom about what he learned today. And he got home, and his mom said, "Well, Johnny, what did you learn today? And remember, we have to use adult language when we're talking about what we learned." And Johnny thought, and he said, "Oh, well, Mom, today we learned about Winnie the Shit."
Yeah, that's what happens when you condescend to young people.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to rebel in ways you never expected.
Right. And then you got a real predicament on your hands after that. That's a much bigger predicament than, "Oh, no, he called them moo-moo cows." Of course, in this fake story. But our Genius Review Party listeners can draw the conclusions, can see the lines in the sand. I have a quick Yelp review here.
Oh, Yelp.
Yelp. This is for Saru Sushi Bar and Noe Valley. This review is from Viola T. from San Francisco. She writes, "The food is amazing, but the service was abysmally bad today. Our table was as hot as a greenhouse, and I asked for water, even though the rest of the table got it. I had to request a plate and utensils after my food arrived. Two of the four orders were missed. And the staff suggested that we leave the premises instead of accommodating us at a more comfortable, shaded table that had just become available. We felt completely unwelcome, and it's hard to enjoy good food when you feel like the staff don't want you there. Been wanting to try this for a long time because I live in the neighborhood, so this was quite disappointing. 2 stars.
Huh. There, in a short review, there is a lot to unpack there.
Sure, sure. Yeah, she put it all on the table, pun intended.
Okay, what? This is a sushi place?
Yes, a sushi place. And I must say the pictures look beautiful.
Okay. Call me low class, but... Well, no. Call her low class. We're both low class. I don't need a sep... You know, your sushi comes on a delicious platter. It's, oh, this is your Maki roll. This is your rainbow. Yep. This is your Godzilla roll. Always get the Godzilla. Come on.
Come on.
Come on. People. Godzilla or the King Kong, whichever. Just choose your kaiju carefully. they bring it out on that platter, and sometimes there's little decorations, or there's a little spicy aioli mayo squirted on there, and it looks gorgeous. I can eat right off of that. I don't need a separate saucer.
Sure.
But she also needed silverware? Excuse me?
Silverware is the key word, isn't it?
No thanks, ma'am. Grab the chopsticks.
Yeah, utensils is what she says, but okay. You can only imagine. Yeah.
She's trying to hide. She's covering for herself. Mm-hmm, she knows exactly what she's doing.
She wants to spike these beautiful hand rolls with a dirty, dirty metal fork.
I ain't got tine for that. That's a joke because tines are the prongs of forks.
Interesting. It's actually traditional to eat your sushi with your hands.
Is it?
It is. It is. There's obvious exceptions that are chopstickable, but the classic roll, you know, the we would call them tuna rolls, just the sushi with the tuna bedded on top.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that is a hand – that's called a hand roll for a reason.
Okay.
No, I think no Japanese person would bat an eyelash if – I'm sure plenty of Japanese people opt to use the chopsticks, but – Yeah, traditionally, sushi is a hand food, much like popcorn.
Oh my goodness. I'm picturing the wildest movie theater experience right now.
I would love a large bucket of sushi every time I go to the movies. I tell you what.
You go over and put it under the wasabi thing.
Yeah, they ask, hey, you want soy sauce on this? They get the big pump. Fucking soy sauce shooting out. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The other thing that struck me here was the greenhouse effect.
Yeah.
Maybe the sushi was cooked as soon as it got set on the table. Like,
it sounds like this is probably cafe outdoor dining.
Mm-hmm.
Because if another table in the shade, did she say?
She did say in the shade.
Opened up. Like, you can only do what you can do. You can't control the weather.
No.
So...
I'm sure that she was asked, do you want indoor or outdoor dining? And they said outdoor, knowing it was a fucking hot day.
It was a baker out there.
Yep.
And he said, oh, we love it. San Francisco or whatever. And if table just opened up, they still got to clean that up. And maybe Absolutely. There's a reservation for a big group coming in and they don't want to.
You're messing with the waiters, waitresses and busboys and busgirls' whole rhythm if you're asking for that table. As soon as they're standing up. You're asking for it? No, there's a system in place that you can't just mess with. It's going to mess up their whole night. And, you know, service time at restaurants, especially a $3 sign Yelp restaurant that is only open for lunch service, takes a break, and then dinner service, I'm sure they're very, very busy.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to stick to what they got to stick to.
And I bet they would have been more accommodating about those two roles they missed if you weren't such a little something about it.
Yeah. Don't get your undies in a bunch.
Your undies in a Grundy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to unhand roll your own underpants after you get them in such a tizzy. And the sticky rice ain't helping. I think that's it for Review Party 105. What do you think?
I think that's it, yeah.
She's in the books. Thank you, listener, for making it to the end of the show. That puts you in the Review Party Real Ones Club. Welcome in. Make yourself comfortable. I hope you enjoyed it. I had fun.
I had a blast.
Yeah, this is a rare Saturday. Used to not be rare. We used to do the Saturday every week, so it's a nice return to form. A nice good energy, I think. Speaking of days of the week, we got new episodes every Tuesday. That's right. Hashtag Tuesday Reviews Day. Put that in your little brain and never let it out. We'd love to have you listening every Tuesday, but if you can't make it till Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if you're a weekend listener, hey, we still love you. We just want you to know that little baby is under the heat lamp, ready to go whenever you are ready Tuesday morning. And if you'd like to send us an absurd review for us to make some ha-has over, please send an email with a hyperlink of the review to reviewparty.com@gmail.com and include your name so we can throw you some credit.
If you would like to get in contact with us in any particular way, there are methods for you to do that. You can achieve your dream of contacting us. Here's the ways. You can reach out on Instagram or TikTok. You can also follow us there at reviewparty.com. Maybe you'll see a one-star Monday or a five-star Friday or any of the intervening days happen. Like Tuesday Reviews Day, duh, get with it. We're also on Twitter, at Review Party Pod. And if social media, if you need to take a break from that, we understand, it's fine. We all get a little burnt out from doom scrolling. So check out reviewparty.com. It's like your little internet browser getaway. Such blues. It looks like the ocean. Take yourself there. You can find all the episodes. You can find the blog where reviews are written about in some way, shape, or form every single week. There's the shop. There's the newsletter sign up. There's just a whole lot of fun to be had. You could be having it.
You could. It's right there. It's at your fingertips. You know what else could be at your fingertips? A funny reviewparty.com review on iTunes. Leave us a review on iTunes, Podchaser. I think Spotify's even getting on the star situation.
Yeah.
If it's 5 stars and if it's funny or nice, we will read it on the air like this one from Orange Puppy 17. They title it Yes.
That's my favorite title. Sorry.
It's just so positive. I love the energy it sets for the rest of the review.
True.
Orange Puppy 17 writes, "Hey guys, thanks for this. My friend challenged me to build a Lego Imperial Light Cruiser in a day. That's 9 Lego packs. I told him I would if I could keep the set, and he paid. So I did it, and you guys kept me alive from 6 to midnight. Thanks, guys." Thank you, Orange Puppy. So glad to have you
in the party. A bit of research. If I'm looking at the right Lego set, that's a $160 set with over 1,300 pieces. So you put your work in.
Yeah, that must have been a hot work session. You were efficient. You were getting shit done. So, yeah, I'm glad we could accompany you in that Star Wars celebration. We love that.
Tell your friend that they can listen to us too, because it sounds like they have some money to throw around.
Yeah. Hey, if homie sends us some Star Wars Lego sets, we'll put them together. We'll put a video on TikTok. We'll review them. And before we finish things out here, I'd like to thank our buddies Nosebleeds for letting us use their jam bread for breakfast. You can find more great tunes from them on their Spotify. Just search Nosebleeds, one word. I have a finisher here.
Let me hear that finisher here.
This is another little one I found when I was going down the gamer product rabbit hole. This is a review from Amazon for the RGB Gaming Mouse Matte Pad, large extended lead mouse pad with 14, or excuse me, lead would be bad. Large extended LED mouse pad with 14 lighting nodes, 2 brightness, anti-slip rubber base with waterproof coating, mouse mat for gamer. Just one. Julie Flowers Mills titles it, "Love It. Our teen son loves it. He has this and a light-up gaming keyboard, plus a LED strip across his bed. It all makes his room cool. 5 stars.
And he made friends at summer camp. Yes, yes, yes.